In 18th century France, where reputation is everything and desire is a dangerous game, two former lovers orchestrate a sophisticated ballet of seduction and betrayal. The Marquise de Merteuil and the Vicomte de Valmont, aristocrats with impeccable public reputations, secretly exchange letters detailing their conquests and strategies. Their targets? The innocent convent-educated Cécile Vallange and the virtuous, married Madame de Tourvel. What begins as entertainment evolves into a psychological chess match with devastating consequences. The libertine duo approaches seduction with military precision. The Marquise proposes that Valmont corrupt young Cécile, who is engaged to the Marquise's former lover. What glory to deflower a girl destined for a man who wronged me, she essentially suggests. Meanwhile, Valmont pursues the pious Madame de Tourvel, seeing her virtue as the ultimate challenge. Conquering a woman known for her unwavering morality, now that's a victory worth pursuing. Their correspondence reveals a philosophy where manipulation is elevated to an art form. The Marquise explains how she's mastered deception, practicing tears until they flow on command, studying facial expressions in mirrors, and appearing spontaneous while calculating every gesture. What makes their relationship compelling is their competitive dynamic, each seeking to prove their superiority in the game of seduction. 15-year-old Cécile enters society completely unprepared after her convent education. Her early letters reveal charming naivety, mistaking a tradesman's politeness for romance and misreading social cues. This innocence makes her the perfect target in the Marquise's revenge scheme. When Cécile develops feelings for her music teacher Danceny, the Marquise positions herself as a mentor while secretly orchestrating Cécile's corruption, planning to transform her into one of our most fashionable women before her marriage to the Marquise's former lover. Through Cécile's correspondence, we witness her gradual corruption from initial reluctance to accepting secret meetings. When her mother discovers these activities and relocates her, Valmont exploits her trust through manipulation. Most troubling is how quickly Cécile adapts to duplicity, embracing deception while remaining unaware she's merely a pawn. By the story's end, she returns to the convent with diminished prospects, a powerful commentary on how easily integrity crumbles in a society valuing appearances over genuine virtue. Unlike others, Madame de Tourvel genuinely believes in her moral principles. Happily married and devout, she resists Valmont from sincere conviction rather than coquetry. "I have no fear of loving you," she writes, "and would flee 100 leagues if I did." Valmont approaches her seduction as his masterpiece, targeting her compassion through staged charitable acts, paying a poor family's taxes while ensuring she witnesses his generosity. This calculated performance affects her deeply. Could a truly wicked man perform such generous deeds? This seduction uniquely impacts Valmont himself. He finds himself moved by her sincerity, confessing, "I was intoxicated with love. I actually believed what I said." Tourvel's resistance gradually weakens as her letters reveal her struggle. When she surrenders, it's complete emotional capitulation. Her tragedy lies in her inability to separate desire from commitment. Abandoned, she retreats to a convent and dies of grief, demonstrating the novel's critique that true virtue, once compromised, cannot adjust to moral relativism. Valmont demonstrates sophisticated psychological insight by customizing his approach for each woman, using authority with Cécile and patience with Tourvel. With this woman, he notes, one must surprise rather than attack, recognizing direct approaches would only strengthen her defenses. His techniques include creating false intimacy through crafted letters, orchestrating favorable circumstances, and employing strategic withdrawal to intensify desire. When Tourvel avoids him, he inverts their roles, positioning himself as the victim. he cultivates unwitting allies, particularly his aunt, Madame de Rosamond, whose affection legitimizes his presence. Most cunningly, Valmont exploits Torvel's religious nature by presenting himself as seeking moral reformation through her influence, appealing to both her faith and vanity. Valmont excels at identifying vulnerabilities, Cecile's inexperience, Torvel's compassion, and manipulating them systematically. Yet his genuine response to the poor family and growing attachment to Torvel reveal that even the most calculating libertine remains susceptible to authentic emotion, making his eventual death both fitting and tragic. While Valmont practices libertinage skillfully, the Marquise de Merte is its philosophical architect. In her most revealing letter, she explains constructing a public persona of rigid virtue following her husband's death while secretly indulging desires. Her genius lies in recognizing reputation exists separately from behavior. One need only manage perceptions. She cultivates alliances with grateful duennas who defend her character while precisely managing lovers, publicly accepting only unwanted suitors while secretly meeting preferred ones. Unlike Valmont, who occasionally feels genuine emotion, the Marquise maintains complete detachment, viewing emotions as weaknesses to exploit in others but eliminate in herself. She's compelling for her awareness of gender inequality. Condemned from childhood to silence and inaction, I learn to observe and dissemble. Her libertinage partly rebels against these constraints. Her downfall comes when Valmont's letters exposing her schemes become public. She's ostracized, contracts disfiguring smallpox, and faces financial ruin, suggesting her society's ultimate crime isn't immorality, but exposed hypocrisy. The novel's epistolary structure functions both as literary device and thematic element driving character manipulations. Letters serve as strategic tools, creating false intimacy, providing deniability, and supplying evidence for blackmail. Valmont and the Marquis view correspondence as both weapon and shield. They recognize letters create dangerous permanent records, hence the Marquis's rule, never write, never leave proof. Yet they exploit letters' ability to seduce from a distance, crafting messages designed to erode their target's defenses. Characters' treatment of letters reveals their moral positions. Torvel's handling of Valmont's messages traces her decline from returning them unopened to obsessive rereading. The young lovers approach correspondence with naive romanticism, while the manipulators share their conquest's intimate messages for entertainment. Letters become lethal when relations sour. After Valmont's death, their published correspondence destroys the Marquise's social facade. The devastating conclusion hinges on a single letter, the Marquise's template for romantic dismissal delivered to Torvel, proving that words can destroy more effectively than violence. As the novel concludes, the libertine game exacts its terrible price. Valmont dies in a duel with Danceny after the young man discovers the manipulation. Rather than explain himself, Valmont maintains his libertine identity to the end. Madame de Torvel collapses upon learning of Valmont's death, refusing food until her body surrenders. Cecile moves from innocence, through pregnancy and miscarriage, to self-imposed convent exile. The Marquise's punishment is symbolically precise. Smallpox destroys her legendary beauty, metaphorically revealing her inner corruption. Financial ruin transforms her from society's manipulator to its outcast. These endings pose a central question. Is this divine justice punishing vice, or the inevitable consequence of deception? The virtuous suffer as severely as the villains, while Cecile and Danceny's ruined futures suggest innocence provides no protection. The novel remains relevant in our era of curated social media personas. When human hearts become game pieces, everyone eventually loses, even the most skilled players.